Welcome back, everybody, to Dueling Tangents with Luke and Brian. I'm Brian, that's Luke.
Yeah.
And we're, give us a call, 844-967-2789. I really love talking to Daryl Ingram because he played in the NFL and also has the ability to just bring it to a situation where all of us can understand it. When he always brings that up, whenever I talk about the NFL and everything, I always, you know, I'm talking as a fan. He's, you know, a kid who played high school, but that's about it. You know, I like it and I want it to be better and all that stuff. And he's like, it's a reflection of society. And I'm like, oh yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, it is.
Yeah. And, really appreciate you, inviting Daryl on to today's show because I think the perspective that Daryl brought is really important though as well, like tying it all together, like it is a reflection, but the importance that this isn't new, Brian. It's not something that is just, you know, we're finding out about, like Daryl indicated, 30 years ago he didn't go into coaching because he saw the same problems then, and the fact that Brian Flores is filing this lawsuit now, like you said, it's a canary in the coal mine, and It's wild to think of, because a couple of other statistics that we weren't able to dive into in that interview with Daryl, there's only going to be one black head coach this upcoming year, the way the lay of the land is right now. So it's all
and by all indications, Brian Flores was going to be the second one.
Well, potentially, there's still a few NFL teams that are looking to fill a head coaching vacancy. And unfortunately, when we saw Colin Kaepernick leave San Francisco, and he could still have gotten a starting job somewhere else in the league, but the fact that he became the spearhead for the movement in 2016, 2017 around standing up for players and players being able to advocate for what they believe in, that kind of made him, it blackballed Kaepernick from the rest of the teams in the league. And so even though there's places like the Houston Texans that are still looking for a head coach, or Brian Flores could go and be the head coach in Houston. And
would you really want to be the head coach in Houston?
Being a head, if you want to be a head coach, come on.
I'm making a joke about the Houston situation. It is messed up. But anyway.
Yes, but the fact is there's one out of the 32 teams will have a black head coach next season, and that's 3% of the league. For a league that is comprised of 70% of its players are black. And the fact that the makeup of the league for the talent that everybody tunes in to see every Sunday, and we've got the biggest Sunday of them all coming up in what, 10 days from now?
Yeah.
11 days from now?
And isn't Joe Burrow so pretty? How beautiful is Joe Burrow? Isn't he so pretty?
All I see now is the Macaulay Culkin references that all my friends have been sending me.
But my point is, would they be saying the same thing if, I don't know, Lamar Jackson made it in? You know what I mean?
No, if Lamar Jackson was wearing the same bling, say, like, I believe it says Jay Burrow, I don't know what his diamond necklace said for Joey Burrow. But if Lamar Jackson or Russell Wilson or Cam Newton were wearing those around leading up to the NFL, the critique would be, why does he have to be so flashy? Why is he doing that? Why isn't he just focusing on the game that's coming up?
How long have we just assumed that the quarterback's a white dude? And lately it's not been. And then that's a great thing. I think we've gotten some really, really great. Oh, my goodness. We've changed the entire offensive scheme of the entire NFL for the last 10 years because, oh, my goodness, we let black quarterbacks start playing. And, oh, my goodness, now we've tried something new. And we can do new plays or new things. People can run. Oh, my goodness. Whereas before it was just Warren Moon.
Yeah.
There you go.
That was it. That was it. And the fact that it's disheartening because I too love football. Like you and Daryl, I love football. I tune in every Sunday. I love the Packers, but I love watching NFL Red Zone. I have fantasy football teams. Like I play with, it's how I stay in touch with a lot of friends that I don't see all the time, because it's a nice way for the entire fall and winter to be able to connect and have some friendly competition among people that you don't necessarily see on a day-to-day basis. And the fact of the matter that, like Daryl talked about at the beginning, saying that either people are unaware of it or they just don't want to acknowledge or connect these things are related. But I see a lot of friends that I do play fantasy football with, that I'm in these leagues with for years, that are saying, well, Brian Flores is a joke. The NFL is not racist. They saw the hashtag end racism, it starts with us, the things that were put on helmets, the movements after the Kaepernick saga, because like it's not an incident. It is an aspect of the NFL.
Calling it a situation just kind of belittles it, but I lack of a better term.
Right. But since that has unfolded, everybody's like, oh, well, the NFL is addressing this now. It is being addressed. The NFL can't be racist because it's addressing it. But the Rooney Rule was instituted in 2003, Brian. And it is now 19 years ago that this has been in place. And to, like Daryl said, in the year 2022, we have one black NFL coach for a league that is comprised of 70% of black players, is insane to think that there is not a racist or some form of the hiring practice that is racist that is leading to that.
You're at the very least, you're getting racist outcomes. Got to keep that in mind. And another aspect to it is Flores is offered $100,000 to tank by an owner who also has a stake in a sports book. Oh. The NFL has made a huge bet with sports books,
mm-hmm.
and by the way, have profited about $1.4 billion off of sports books last year. $1.4 billion, and they're expanding it right now.
Hugh Jackson, the previous coach of the Cleveland Browns, insinuated that either the GM or the ownership of the Browns did similar incentives for him to lose games. So
the last thing the league is going to need is any sort of thought of impropriety, any sort of thought that the game is rigged or that things are not as what they seem. Outcomes might not happen the way that they seem. My goodness.
Yeah.
It's nuts.
But the worst thing is that the black coaches, Hugh Jackson, Brian Flores, the individuals that have a harder time getting into that position of being a head coach in the NFL and then are being propositioned with that nature. Please lose games so that I can get a better draft pick next year. And so for the people who it is more difficult to get into that position of being a head coach that have higher expectations, because that is it is more difficult for them to make that ascension to that port of the league, but and then are held to even greater responsibility because people like Joe Judge for the New York Giants got it as a defense. He was a special teams coordinator.
They are white people are more often able to jump ahead as well. The outcomes are better, as well as black head coaches in general have the least amount of rehiring. Most of them don't get a second chance ever. So you're asking somebody to tank and they don't get second chances? Kind of hard. We'll see you tomorrow, guys. By the way, it's Groundhog Day.
Folks, you've been listening to Dueling Tangents. If you missed any portion of this show and the great interview with Daryl Ingram, check out the podcast at devilradio927.com. See you tomorrow.